Lean forward slightly. Look straight at the speaker. And listen with a sparkle in your eye, as though you might be thinking, gee, this is the most wonderful thing I ever heard in all my life.
We interrupt this program to waste some of your valuable time.
Coming to you live from the KOUG studios at WSU Vancouver, it's TGIF Radio. This show is brought to you by the Internet, Electricity, and Mind Power. And now, with no agenda in mind, here's TGIF Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the highlight of your week. It is Friday. This is TGIF Radio, so goodbye to the work week and hello to the weekend.
Sexy thing, you.
Yeah, I know. I thought that's what the song was at first. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Was
okay.
Wondering when you were going to catch on.
Yeah, no, I caught the, yeah. It sounded familiar. I'm like, this sounds awfully familiar. Is it this song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my personal favorites and one of the best band names of all time, Hot Chocolates. I don't know. I thought it was pretty great. You can go ahead and call us anytime, we dare you, at 360-546-9500. I kind of remember how to use the phone now, so we will try and make it work. Hooray for us.
Yay.
We know how to use technology,
More or less.
You benefit from it.
Yes.
We do all the work around here.
I know.
Do you give us? Not a single darn email. Serious, never gotten one.
No, we never have.
I'm not too worried about it because I still like doing the show, but if we heard from you, that would be fantastic. So email us anything at tgifradioshow@gmail.com. We'll just say that at the beginning for...
Yeah, I mean, even hate mail would be good because then we could, you know, tell you how you're wrong
hate
mail.
We can slander these people. Slander's always fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of slander, you said you had a thing that we could... I guess laugh at.
Okay, yes.
Which is always nice.
This is a story from the South, from Georgia, more specifically.
Georgia?
About just outside of Atlanta.
Was this person a Georgia peach?
No. She wasn't a zombie either.
Oh.
Walking Dead. Anyways.
Ha! Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you caught up on that?
I'm like halfway through season two.
Okay.
I started last week.
All right, you're probably in its golden peak.
See, I heard season two was kind of boring, and it is kind of
slow. Oh, wait. Oh, two.
They're stuck on the farm.
Yeah, okay.
They just open up the barn.
I confuse my seasons
then.
Yeah,
they just open up the barn, had that little thing, and I just got the episode after that.
I don't know when its peak really was then, because its fans love to hate it.
Yeah.
It's strange how people have turned on it, but are still continuing to watch it.
I like it.
Me too.
It's an insanely addictive show.
I just
honestly hate
how they don't call any of them zombies because...
Yeah, that is obnoxious.
Very strange concept where nobody ever thought of, hey, let's make up this thing. What do we call it? A zombie, like in literature. And
yeah,
then it actually happens. No.
Well, that actually stems from voodoo culture, actually.
This whole zombie thing?
The word zombie, it's supposed to be like someone who is like possessed by like witchy magic or black magic or something and forced to do someone else's bidding against, you know, without having any sort of control over themselves.
Interesting.
Yeah. It wasn't initially brains. No, it was basically witch doctor curses you and you have to go, you know, steal this guy's underpants or something. I don't know. Maybe
witch doctors have a very high need for underpants.
I don't know. I'm just making something up. Anyways, so this story it's a news story. A girl like was lit on fire because they poured, you know, some people basically, I'm guessing either family or siblings or whatever, they poured gasoline on her slide in order to lubricate it, and then static electricity of them going down the slide created a spark, which then ignited the gasoline, which then sent her into an inferno. Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
Not even joking, that one. They poured gasoline on their slide in order to make it slipperier.
And natural selection continues its course.
Girl didn't die. She just got lifelighted.
Oh, well.
She just got lifelighted to the hospital. And then the investigator said, oh, yeah, it was just some freak accident.
Well, it's kids
kind
boring.
Of, yes, but it's also stupidity amongst people's parts.
I'm wondering, could that qualify for a Darwin Award? I don't know exactly what the Darwin Reward
award. There's no reward for stupidity, only awards, and they shame you. Yes. That's what you should learn from this.
I think it could be a contender at the very least.
Yeah, because I always thought that Darwin Award winners went into the situation that they found themselves in with absolute trust in what they were doing. They believed that it was going to work.
Yeah,
it's I guess slide lubrication.
They thought it was going to work, and then static electricity is like, no.
There's many better substitutes for slide lubrication than gasoline. That is not the first thing I could think of. Maybe like butter, cooking oil, syrup.
Syrup would be sticky.
But it,
I don't know.
It might still work.
Motor oil, something.
Oh, yeah. Well, that doesn't ignite it as easily from static electricity.
No, that's a lot higher.
But still.
Burning point.
I've always wanted to make my own
use diesel. That doesn't ignite.
Still stupid though.
It is.
You're gonna get all the you're gonna get skin cancer everywhere,
and then that's gonna get in your clothes, and you're just gonna stink like gasoline.
Oh yeah, it'll be a horrible day for children everywhere in Georgia. Hey, we found a new way to lubricate our slides. How did you do it? Nitroglycerin. Okay. Let's go. I don't know where these kids are getting nitroglycerin
from. And then you did the classic thing where you like dive onto the slide, you slam into the slide, and it just explodes.
Booyah. The portrayal of nitroglycerin in the second Zorro movie is accurate.
Oh, yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's pretty. That was probably the best part of that movie.
That they introduced nitroglycerin as the doomsday device.
And nitroglycerin was fairly accurate, which was nice in a movie for once.
Awesome. And I wonder
explosives being portrayed accurately.
Yeah. It was like intended to be a dynamite substitute at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was basically...
Maybe not in the movie.
Well, no, because dynamite basically was nitroglycerin or clay soaked in nitroglycerin.
Oh,
that's pretty much what it was, because the clay would make it more stable.
Interesting.
So if you dropped a stick of dynamite, it wouldn't blow up and kill you and your 10 minor buddies.
Yeah, no, that was a big problem, as I get it. And did you know that peanut dust is an ingredient in dynamite?
Huh. No, I didn't know that, but it's interesting.
There's like 100 secret ingredients to dynamite, but one of the public ones, for some reason, is peanut dust, which M&M's also contained, I learned a while ago, even the plain chocolate ones.
Oh, it makes
There's minuscule little peanut dust flecks
floating. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you can't get rid of all of it. It's just going to be floating around in the air.
I always thought that M&M's were going to be segregated from the peanuts, you know? Just the threat of peanut allergies, I guess.
Yeah, like they're made in like completely different factories.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I also don't know if this is a provocative thought or anything, or maybe I'll get burned at the stake for it. I don't know.
Or on your slide.
But peanut allergies are kind of silly when you think about it. I think that they were possibly. It's probably because we take too good of care of ourselves, if that's not a properly formed sentence. I'm sorry. I hope it doesn't debunk my argument. But I don't soak myself in Purell before I go outside.
No.
And don't get sick very often.
Neither do I. But the thing is, I think with like peanut allergies, because like we knew somebody with a nut allergy, Carissa.
Yeah.
She had like a super serious... You could eat like a peanut butter sandwich or something, and like if you got too close to her and just were like in her face, she could actually possibly start her... Throat would start closing up.
It's just fascinating how things like that
I know. Form. It's something so little. Just the smell or the aroma or whatever peanut butter can actually start to send you into that, you know.
I actually know somebody who's allergic to peas.
Yeah.
Luckiest person ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't like
Eat
peas.
Eat your green vegetables, honey.
And then you just start. You keel over. This is what happens when you go green.
Yeah. Imagine going over to somebody's house that didn't know that, and they're all insulted because, you know, they have, you know, some sort of, like, if you're allergic to green beans, and they make green bean casserole.
Yeah? Oh, man.
You're just like, I can't eat this. I'm sorry.
Why? Are you allergic to green things? Yeah. Yeah,
actually, I kind of am.
And then they just look at you all stoic. Get out.
Yeah. And then, you know, after you leave, they're like, I don't think you should be friends with her anymore or him anymore. No, I don't know.
I've been much more accepting of green things as of late.
Yeah.
I had tacos with lettuce on them the other day. It may not count because they were from Jack in the Box. They were particularly greasy.
Yes.
But they were marginally tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten a lot more accepting of fruits and that kind of stuff after working probably in the produce department, too.
You used to not be?
I used to just not even want to try a lot of them.
Fruits were never an issue for me. Oh.
See, a lot of fruits, I was like, no, I don't, and I'm okay.
Just looking at it and...
I just, yeah, I look at it or smell it, be like, yeah, it smells okay, but yeah, I don't know. And then, you know, working produce, you got to know what a lot of the stuff tastes like, especially like in summertime where we had a lot of the soft fruit.
Why do you have to know? Because so you can review it for the customers?
Because people will ask, oh, how are these, you know, or what do these taste like?
Huh.
So you'd be like, oh, yeah, they're kind of a sweet. They got a little bit of a tart flavor to them. You know, the harder ones are considerably more tart, and the softer ones are considerably more sweet.
Does it have a surprisingly nutty flavor that flutters on the tongue?
Yeah. A fruity flavor that lingers on the tongue?
Oh, yeah, that was.
You must be a connoisseur.
That's probably, I don't know why, but we're quoting The World's End here.
Yes.
If you haven't gotten it, I think it's out on Blu-ray next week?
I think pretty soon, yeah.
Maybe, but through various channels, we have managed to see this movie ourselves.
Yeah.
And it is quite glorious. We recommend it to all.
It is quite good.
You don't even have to be an alcoholic to watch it, which is the main theme of this movie.
No, yeah, that's one of the funnest parts, I think, of the whole movie is throughout the whole, and for those of you don't know, five friends, like I just went on a golden mile. Anyways, they go on a golden mile, which is a mile-long path where they hit 12 pubs, each of them drinking one pint of beer at each pub, mm-hmm. So 60 pints of beer between the five of them, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And it's British beer, so it's stronger.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
Along the way, they basically figure out that the town that they're in, which is their hometown, has like been overtaken by alien robots.
But they're not robots.
No, they're not robots.
Robots that aren't robots.
Yes. And then they find out they may be humanity's last hope.
Pretty awesome.
It is pretty good.
Did you realize that there are 12 pubs in this movie, and there's also 12 steps to the Alcoholics Anonymous program?
I never thought of that, but that's brilliant.
That's just good writing, man.
Yeah, that is quite clever. Or just a typical British town.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
They have a lot of pubs there.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably one of the most densely populated types of businesses in that area.
Yeah.
Kind of like how we've got McDonald's. They've got pubs.
Starbucks.
Yeah, no, Starbucks is way more densely populated.
Yeah. I mean, we have, like, what, 2-3 of them just in Woodland?
Does the little kiosk in Safeway count?
Yes.
I can only think of two.
Because there used to be one over down by High School Pharmacy. There used to be one in that over by, like, the Shell Texaco, whatever.
Oh, really?
There used to be one, like, right over in that area, I thought.
Oh, I never saw that.
I don't know. I never really went there. The only one I've ever...
Nah, I can think of the one with the Subway and the one in the Safeway. That's
but
it.
Two of them within 1,000 yards, you can, or 500 yards of each other.
You can walk. You can throw a rock at the other Starbucks and hit it. You can get it into someone's latte.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
What is a latte? What's a cappuccino?
I don't know.
I think coffee is more difficult to order than a fruity drink in a bar.
But for different reasons. You order a fruity drink in the bar, you just get people looking at you weird. Trying to order Starbucks, they look at you like...
It's also a bit difficult for me because I'm not over 21.
Yes, that's
so
true.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
But it's probably not as difficult as me trying to overcome my general hatred for all things coffee.
Yeah, you're working on it, though. We're drinking, what was that? That salted caramel, whatever?
I don't know what it was, but it was kind of tasty.
They have, like,
it gave me energy, and I couldn't stop bouncing up and down for the next couple hours.
I think they have eggnog lattes or whatever.
Oh,
eggnog
screw
something.
Screw eggnog, man.
Eggnog's awesome.
Eggnog's
what are you talking about?
Weird. It's...
Okay, what about pumpkin spice?
Is that also eggnog?
No, that is pumpkin.
In liquid form?
Kind of.
Then gross.
It tastes like drinking a pumpkin pie almost, I think. I don't know. I haven't had one, but...
Yeah. Shrug.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. Eggnog's weird because it's raw egg that has been mixed, and then you mix it with more poison, which is alcohol. That's like the general use for it, isn't it? Eggnog is an alcohol thing, isn't it? We don't know what we're talking about.
No. You can get... It's a common thing to mix eggnog with like brandy or something like that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. The carton you buy of eggnog is not alcoholic.
So you just drink it straight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Blech. Blech.
Blech. I like eggnog.
Blech.
To a certain extent. I could not have it all year long. I would die.
They don't even sell it all year long, do they?
No. We've had it for about a month or so.
Yeah.
We got it about Halloween time.
For people who want to get their raw egg fix early, good on them.
Yeah, but I can handle it for about a month.
Yeah.
And then
and then you tire of it.
And then I'm like, okay, New Year's, drink my last eggnog and then call it quits.
Well, I can definitely see that with eggnog, but I often eat many things for like one particular thing for extended periods of time.
Yeah.
Well, I've said this before. I had toast and butter for breakfast for at least 6 years.
Yeah.
I can't even count it. And recently I've been making egg sandwiches.
Yeah.
For breakfast every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. It gets you. It's fun to cook.
Yeah. No, I mean, for breakfast, I'll probably at least once a week probably have scrambled eggs and some microwave bacon.
Microwave bacon?
It's pre-cooked. You just got to heat it up in the microwave.
Cook it just. What?
I don't have time in the morning to get raw bacon out and cook it on a griddle.
You should make a. Oh, we should make like a mini skillet.
That involves getting up earlier, and I'm like, ugh, no.
Make a mini skillet just for things like that. It'd be like a 3-inch, 3, 4, 5-inch diameter.
You have to get it really hot, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you need heavy duty heating coils.
Well, no. Wait, am I not thinking of skillets correctly?
Wait, what are you thinking of?
I'm just thinking of like just a super small pan.
Oh, okay.
You know? To cook the bacon in. Really easy to wash.
That's true.
Heats up quick if you put it over a gas stove.
Yeah.
Which you don't have.
Yeah, I do. Well, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Our stovetop's gas.
Never mind. You can use this invention then. Use it for thine benefit.
I'm thinking of a griddle, not a skillet. Never mind. That's what I was thinking of. I was thinking like a 5-inch or 6-inch square griddle or something.
Okay. Now, this would be just like for your quick fix of like 3 pieces of bacon.
Yeah.
That's the minimal amount that you should be having for breakfast every day.
See, on our every stove, day. Which is, this is brilliant because I love it.
Okay.
It has that center rack that, you know, it's got the 4 burners and it's got a long strip rack. It's got a bar and it's got the grate on it. So you can put like, I don't know what you would put on it for a pan there, but you can pull that off and it's got a griddle that goes in that slot.
Ooh.
So you can have your 4 burners and a griddle.
Do want. That sounds neat.
It is pretty awesome. So I'll be like cooking up some scrambled eggs and have the bacon going right next to it. And I don't know what else is going on the other burners, but.
Nice. I think I have to go to your house because we haven't had legitimate bacon, real bacon in our house for months.
I don't think we have either. Last time that we got some, I bought it myself.
And you're talking about, like, non-microwave bacon.
No, this is, like, bacon out of a package that's, like, $2 a pound or something like that. $2-$3 a pound.
Yeah.
Bacon's expensive.
It is, but worth it.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, I could put it on almost any sandwich.
Yeah.
No complaints.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter and Nutella and bacon sandwich. It's awesome.
Oh, you've done it?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I tried it once at a shooting competition. It was quite good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, I want to do that now. No, we've had bacon in our house, but it is not bacon.
Yeah.
It is turkey bacon. An atrocity on the world of bacon. It's still kind of tasty, but it's just missing
it smells like
that.
Feet, but you're trying to watch your carbs to eat your turkey bacon.
I've never smelled feet when I cook it.
That was the first episode of Breaking Bad reference.
Oh.
Because
he
comes out on his 50th birthday, they have turkey bacon instead of real bacon.
Yeah.
And Junior's
lame. Did they get real bacon once his next birthday rolled around?
I think they do have real bacon.
Good
on his 51st.
Yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah.
Real bacon makes you cook. No. The fake bacon inspires you to cook.
Well, when you have a baby, you don't care about much other things.
You just want the sustenance.
You just eat, go.
Something. I keep hitting my mic.
Yeah.
Doing this wrong. Yeah, no. I'd eat bacon every day.
Yeah.
I'd do it. I want to make that bacon weave that I've seen on the internet
before.
Oh,
yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
And then you could, I wonder. Make the bacon weave and do like cookie cutters.
Christmas tree shaped bacon.
Yes.
That's a brilliant idea.
And then cook that up and like serve that, you know, so you get little, you know, you get your Mickey Mouse pancake with a Christmas tree bacon for Christmas morning or something.
Crispy or squishy for your bacon?
Halfway in between.
So like some parts are squishy, some parts are crunchy.
Yeah, like the ends, like the end fat bits are a little squishy, but not so much that they just like are, you know, super squishy, but enough that, you know, you still kind of got a little bit of golden brown, not charred, obviously.
Uh-huh.
You kind of got the golden brown center and a little bit of golden brown around the edges of the fats on the end.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I'm going to have to get a cheeseburger on the way home.
Yeah.
I need lunch.
I know, I haven't eaten since breakfast.
What did you have for breakfast?
Because
that that's an indicator for how much you should be eating later, I think. And breakfast, honestly, should be the biggest meal of the day. Somebody figured that out.
Yeah, I've heard that before. And then lunch, you should have basically a snack.
Just a snack?
Pretty well, you know, like, not like, you know, eat a granola bar, but have like, you know, I don't know, just a small little something. Don't eat like, you know, a double quarter pounder with cheese and a large fry and then a Hershey bar.
Or do that and then cry yourself to sleep on the toilet, because that's where you'll end up being every time. It's sad
that's what happened to Elvis. And he died there.
He ate a burger and died?
No, he tried to pass like 40 cheeseburgers and on the toilet while taking his drugs. And
oh, man, are cheeseburgers like a common theme amongst people who OD on things?
I don't know.
Hasselhoff almost like killed himself from alcohol poisoning. Because have you seen that video?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's pretty old. He's pretty much useless from alcohol, and I think
he was useful before.
No, well, he was Knight Rider. He was useful at one point,
I guess.
His daughter was filming him, and he's just pretty much lying on the floor eating a Big Mac, just yelling about how miserable his life is, and at the same time apologizing to his daughter who is filming him.
Oh, yeah, no, Elvis. Yeah, he died on the toilet, overdosed on drugs,
but.
Okay,
but he had something to do with cheeseburgers.
Well, he liked cheeseburgers, and he was kind of getting a little tubby when he was getting a bit of a gut when he died.
Yeah, no, yeah, so, that built up over a while.
Yeah, but my question is with that, I just thought of is why are you doing your drugs on the toilet? Of all the places to choose, I mean, is that just where you're most relaxed or whatever?
I don't know. It's a pretty relaxing place.
It's true.
Although, I'll never poop the same way again, thanks to cell phones now. I should wash my cell phone.
Oh, you play with your cell phone when you're going?
You don't?
Not really, no.
Well, you're doing it wrong, my friend. Maybe
sometimes
it's just,
I do. I'll admit.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to turn my phone off.
Oh, I turned mine off before you got here.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Sometimes. But anyway, no. Speaking of cheeseburgers and Elvis being like involved with them, I found out a couple weeks ago that there was a stand here. I'm the lead singer of Pearl Jam.
Anyways, back to your story.
I'm in a band. Steve,
that was so random. I'm sorry.
If I screwed up, I'm gonna turn into the lead singer from Pearl Jam.
It's good to have a backup plan.
Which, who is that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's Google Pearl Jam
while you're telling your story.
Yeah, I found a song a couple weeks ago, by the Steve Miller Band, and the last line that he says in this song, it doesn't rhyme with anything. It's just a random thing that he threw out. He yells out, "Somebody get me a cheeseburger."
What song is that one?
The song is "Living in the USA."
Oh, okay.
You never heard that at the end?
I must not have. I must have forgot about it.
I'm gonna try and.
Well,
play
I guess it
right
makes sense
now.
If you're living in the USA, you're eating a cheeseburger.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually,
who is? Oh, wait a minute. Basketball singer Eddie Vedder. I thought it was Eddie Vedder, but
yeah.
I'm Eddie Vedder. I don't talk good neither. No. Yeah. I'm gonna play that Steve Miller song. Maybe it'll come up in the middle here. Oh, that's not it. It's farther back. Not a good song.
Yeah, it's not great. Which is sad because I like some of the Steve Miller Band songs.
It's like he's trying to be Huey Lewis.
Or Marvin Gaye.
Nah.
Not quite Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye's a bit slower.
A little bit.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it.
Yeah. Because cheeseburgers have everything to do with America. Yeah. Sorry for the hard cut there, but yeah.
Right.
Steve Miller apparently knows what America is all about, even though I don't like that particular fellow. Oh, well. He's alive, right?
I don't know.
I bet he is.
Probably.
Good
he's
for
a cheeseburger
him.
Right now.
Could be.
Could be. Or he's passed out.
Did he get sponsored by Burger King? Probably not. Oh, yeah. Pearl Jam is from Seattle.
Wow. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. Well, they came out of that whole grunge thing that was happening thanks to Nirvana. So.
Yeah.
Hooray. Yeah. But I actually found out that Kurt Cobain killed himself the same year I was born.
Wow, that's depressing.
Like, I think a couple months before I was actually born.
Huh.
Am I a reincarnation of Kurt Cobain?
I don't know. But it's did you, you saw Black Hawk Down, right?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, it takes place, the event takes place on October 3rd, 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we watch that movie, you know, it says that, you know, October 3rd, 1993. Ben's like, that's the day I was born. That literally is the day he was born. He was born October
3rd, 1993. Awesome.
Yeah.
Not very much exciting happened on my birthday. Alex Rodriguez was born, and that's like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Confucius was born the same day as me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that dude's so old, man.
He was like born like 528 or something like that. I don't remember if it was AD or BC. I think AD, but...
I'm going to see if I can find anything on my...
Yeah, they estimate that, yeah, he was born on the September 28th.
Historical events on 27th of July, which is my birthday. Saint Celestine the First ends his reign as Catholic Pope.
Oh. So you brought down a pope.
I guess. Jews of New Amsterdam petition for a Jewish cemetery. Okay. These are all really boring.
Yeah, my birthday's not that much more exciting. I don't know. I don't remember what exactly was on it, but...
Russia and Turkey sign a peace treaty. Revolution... Oh, I lost that one. Revolution breaks out in Paris opposing laws of Charles the X. X is 10, right?
Yes.
Okay. Roman numerals. They're hard. 1909. Orville Wright tests first U.S. military airplane flying 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 40 seconds.
That's cool, actually. That's quite cool. That's Oh, Orville Wright. That makes me think of... do you ever think that like Google is going over the top with their doodles or whatever, their little things that, for the Google bar?
Over the top?
It seems like every week there's some sort of new one, you know.
No, I think it's a cool little gimmick.
It's cool, but I think it's almost borderline getting overdone.
With how often they're doing
them?
Yeah,
and the things they're picking, they're like, well, don't know what else. Let's just find some random other thing that was today.
Yeah, they are picking some kind of... outlandish events that people may not have heard of, really.
Yeah. I mean, I see, like, doing the holiday ones. That one obviously makes sense.
Yeah.
But they also did one that was, and it was kind of cool, but they did one for, I think it's Herman is the guy's name, or Hernan, Rorschach.
Rorschach. He made those weird ink tests where you look at it and you're supposed to see, like, your mother cooking breakfast or something.
Yeah, well, usually there's a few different responses that are most commonly given. Anyways. But they did one for his the day he was born. And Google him. He looks insane.
Who am I Googling again?
Rorschach. Yeah. I always pronounce his name wrong. He looks – you'll probably find an image of him side by side with Brad Pitt. It is crazy how similar they look.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's see. Whoa! What the – oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which one did you find? Which picture?
The one where his collar's popped and his tie is really horribly tied. Yeah. Dang.
Yeah, no, there's one that I found on Google Images because I clicked on the Rorschach thing. And I had a side-by-side of him with Brad Pitt from, like, the late 90s, like, 7 period. And it's like, wow, Brad Pitt just basically has to do his hair and facial hair a little different, and he looks exactly the same.
If they ever had to make a movie about the guy.
I don't know if he's getting too old, though.
Brad Pitt?
Yeah. I don't know. He still looks fairly good for his age.
He's definitely 40 by now.
I think he's 50.
Man, there's a... You know how... Guess how old Rob Lowe is.
I have no idea.
He's 49.
Wow.
Yeah. His body's a microchip. that's what he says in Parks and Rec.
Oh.
But, you know, and there's actually another guy.
Robert Downey Jr. is like 48.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, he's in his late 40s. I know that.
Robert Downey Jr., blah, blah, blah. I can't spell Downey. I typed in Downley. he is 48.
Yeah.
Man, what? I hope I age that good.
I know.
I don't think I will.
No, probably not.
I've brought forth this theory before. I'm going to turn 40, and I'm going to transform into Louis C.K.
Yeah, you're going to be like 16 until you're like 30, and then when you turn 30, you'll finally look 25.
I'm going to gain 50 pounds. I'm probably going to get 2 inches shorter.
Lose half your hair.
Grow a goatee and hate people all the time.
As opposed to now where we just hate people part of the time.
when we're not at work, usually people are okay.
Yeah, agreed.
We usually just ignore them, but Louis C.K.'s thing is that he sees the stupid things that people are doing. Even if it's not particularly stupid, he'll see somebody doing something and wonder, what is driving you to this point in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And eviscerates them. And I can't, I was going to try and bring up all the pictures of the Google Doodles.
Yeah.
But they're not showing up.
Hmm. But yeah, it's Google, like, it's like, I remember they used to do them like every now and then, you know, for occasional things or some sort of important people, you know, George Washington's birthday or something like that, or Martin Luther King Day or something like that. And now they're doing one for, Rorschach. They did one for the one human calculator lady, which is, she's actually quite impressive.
Oh, yeah. Now, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I learned nothing. I just learned who she was.
Yeah, and I read her Wikipedia page, which is surprisingly short.
Yeah, what the heck?
It's like 3 paragraphs is her entire page.
Her specialty, I guess, is... who are we talking about? We should probably tell people.
I forget. Yeah, the human calculator. She's from India, right? Or Pakistan? Or, something like that.
She's... I found it. I'm not going to do good here. Shakuntala Devi. Eh? I don't know. What do you think, looking at that? Shakuntala, I don't know. Shakuntala Devi was an Indian writer and mental calculator popularly known as the human computer. A child prodigy, her talents eventually...
Prodigy. Because there's a difference. There's a difference.
Don't question how I use my English. I've learned many years. How to English, yes. A child prodigy, her talents eventually earned her a place in the 1982 edition of the Guinness Book of World Records. As a writer, Devi wrote a number of books, including novels and non-fiction texts and mathematics, puzzles, and astrology. How was that? Was that okay?
That was good. It's better than most of the people you get on customer service lines.
Hooray! I know how to English. Very good, yes. How may I help you?
Hello, thank you for calling.
I offend nobody, I hope. Please take that in stride. Learn to be accepting of my sense of humor, I guess.
Yeah. Didn't she do like the seventh root of like a 18-digit number or like a 9-digit number or something like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't even know
and what... And she got it right before the guy could even finish copying it down in his notebook?
Let's see. I'm looking... it doesn't even show the number. She gave the 23rd root of a 201 digit number.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. And how does she do it? She hasn't really said.
No.
Has she?
No. And the thing is, how do you, because basically she grew up in the circus, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
How do you learn math like that in the circus?
I don't know, man. Some people are
special. It's not like, you know, you're sitting down with, you know, advanced theoretical calculus while you're tightrope walking.
I don't think she was a tightrope
walker. No, I know. She basically...
I think she tamed tigers.
Oh, maybe. Juggled elephants.
Maybe. I don't know. There's another guy. I don't remember where he's from. I think he might be German. But he's a number memorizing guy.
Right.
So he's done pi out to millions and millions of digits.
Right.
And he sees numbers in totally different ways than we do.
Yeah.
He can actually model the shape of a number that he sees in Plato. And it just ends up being this weird lumpy thing. And he says that when these shapes line up with the shape of another number, the space that's in between is the solution of, like, their multiplication or something.
Okay.
It's way out there. I don't know how this dude's mind works. Very impressive.
He's just seeing green lines running down in front of his face.
I don't even see the numbers anymore.
Green lines. Yeah, I don't even see the code anymore. It's just...
square root, division, multiplication. Yeah.
Yeah. Good twist.
Yay! Man, if Neo was good at math, I don't think anything could stop him. And I think those last two movies are unfairly judged.
The Matrix movies.
Yeah.
I agree that they're not as good as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But people are way too harsh on them.
Come on, man. And speaking of people being too harsh, I still haven't seen the brand new Riddick movie.
I haven't either.
That's an atrocity on my part. Need to watch it.
Yeah.
because the other two worked so good.
I think Pitch Black was better, personally.
Yeah.
Even though it was a shameless Alien or Aliens ripoff.
Didn't they just call this new one Riddick? Yeah, they did. I found it. It's getting a 6.7.
That's better than it was when it came out.
What was it getting?
Like a 6.4.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, movies that people have seen. I very much recommended to my parents that they watch Gravity.
I'm still trying to get to go see that. If I miss seeing that in theaters, I'm going to be so pissed.
I'm going to hype it up a little bit more for you, okay? Hopefully not too much. Because I hate overselling stuff like that. I did that with Fight Club, I think.
A little bit. I think, yeah, it just got built up a little bit too much in my mind.
But my parents went to go see that movie, and then they came back, and they asked me, when you watched that movie, did it stress you out at all? It absolutely did.
Yeah.
I felt tension the whole time. I felt like I needed to just, like, take a nap afterwards. Because I was under so much stress watching that.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that it's short because...
Yeah, it's like, what, 90 minutes long or so?
Oh, yeah. I think it's just a little bit over that.
Right.
Very good length. Still recommended to all.
Which, it's kind of funny that it's 90 minutes long because that's the amount of time it takes for the International Space Station to do one orbit of the Earth.
Really?
I almost wonder if that was intentional.
I don't know. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
It's
roughly 90 minutes for the ISS to orbit, but...
Speaking of things that may or may not have been planned in movies, we all know the famous bit from The Dark Knight where the hospital is blowing up and the explosion stops midway through and the Joker just looks at it,
what the?
Shrugs, and kind of starts hitting the detonator, and then it goes off. It seems improvised, but it wasn't totally improvised.
Oh, they actually had mistakes with the explosives crew?
They did have a delay between the build-up explosions and the main explosions. I believe that was planned.
Yeah.
But
they didn't bother to tell Heath Ledger?
I don't think they told him, and he just riffed on it.
He just rolled with it. It's like in the one of the last episodes of Breaking Bad where, you know, Bryan Cranston's changing the baby's diaper and she starts saying mommy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Completely improvised, and Bryan Cranston just went along with it because the baby's mom was behind Bryan Cranston.
Oh, really?
And so the baby saw mom and was like, mom, I want you. This guy's scary. And Bryan Cranston just rolled with it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a bunch of like those sort of improvised scenes that if they had actually gone the way they went, I think they would have been subpar.
Can we just give Bryan Cranston all the Emmys now?
I think we should at least try, at least for those years.
Yeah. I still want him to be Lex Luthor.
That would be cool. That would be quite cool.
It's too bad that they didn't confirm that.
Yeah, but, you know.
Let's see.
It takes them a long time to confirm anything with a lot of stuff. I mean, it's Christopher Nolan. He doesn't confirm anything. I mean, it is and it isn't Christopher Nolan. Or is he actually working on Dark Knight 2? Or not Dark Knight 2, Man of Steel 2.
He's
or is he like going, nah, I'm gonna work on Interstellar a little bit more, sorry.
He might just be producing again, but I think Interstellar is his main focus.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever that is. He's locking that down, right? Nobody knows.
Oh yeah, I'm still gonna go see that. Definitely. Oh, yeah.
I hope they tell us nothing. Because it's the biggest problem that we have with movies being released nowadays is they reveal way...
Or people get a hold of copies of the script and then they read it and then they spoil all the twists online before you... I'm not even going to watch any trailers for this unless I see it in a movie theater.
Really?
Yeah.
No trailers.
If there's trailers on IMDb, I'm going to pass on them because I don't want to know.
Mm.
I don't. I mean, even though Nolan does a great job of cutting his trailers that you really don't know what's going to go on in the movie... You still can kind of figure out some framework, like with the Batman movies. You can still kind of figure out some of the stuff that was going to go on.
All right, I'm thinking about it because it's going to be really difficult for me because I basically live on the internet.
Yeah.
But I think I might try doing that too.
I'm going to try as hard as I can not to watch a single trailer for Interstellar. It's going to be the first movie I ever actually do this for.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I just think, okay, science fiction is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this fairly realistically, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's Christopher Nolan.
There's no way it can go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Guaranteed good time.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big one.
What if you hear through word of mouth that a trailer for this was released, but it revealed nothing. Would you watch it anyway in order to, like, increase the mystery in your mind?
I might watch a teaser trailer. You know how they have those out just basically so you can see some of the people who are in the movie, and they give you the basically the bare minimums of the synopsis,
uh-huh,
and then cuts to release date. I might watch that.
Okay.
That'd be about my limit.
This is a really interesting idea.
I know, it's tough.
Might not be able to do it.
I know.
Ooh, internet. I love it.
Although it's not going to be like Pacific Rim where they release 18 trailers.
Yeah.
You know, what did The Dark Knight Rises get? Like two, three trailers?
Two, threes. The newest Spider-Man movie, they had at least 10. Yeah. And they
and then TV spots and then, you know, internet trailers.
Did I ever tell you what happened with that, The Amazing Spider-Man and its trailers?
Huh.
Somebody took all the trailers and edited them together.
Yeah.
Into it came up to being at least a 25 minute clip and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
So almost all of the plot was revealed.
It was a third of the movie.
Yeah.
All the important bits of the movie.
And and Sony kept trying to get the video taken down, but the argument was, you put this footage out there for us. You can't take this down.
Exactly.
Morons. If I ever made a movie, I would have no trailers.
I would... Well, you gotta have a trailer to build up a little bit of hype.
Nope. Word of mouth, internet only. I want to see how it spreads.
That would be interesting to see. Do like an independent film, you know, or something like that. Because, you know, big budget... Big budget.
You like big budgets and you can't lie?
No. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Depends on the day.
And the...
the day, studio. The weather, the outfit. What?
And the studio, yeah, etc.
See, budgets equals butts.
Depends on if it's Michael Bay or not.
Yeah. Give the man... I wonder what he would do with a tiny budget.
Some of his earlier movies.
He'd probably make a baking soda volcano and put it in his movie.
Wasn't Pain and Gain on a small budget?
I don't think so. That seemed
comparatively, it wasn't Transformers where it has, you know, $200 million budget. Half of it goes to special effects. Half of what's left goes to marketing, and a quarter of what's left goes to paying the actors.
I'm seeing a budget of $26 million.
That's actually fairly small, quite honestly, compared to most movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
as small as I would like.
It's not horror movie small where they do it for, you know, 20 grand.
Production budget, 26 million. Yeah. For Pain and Gain.
Yeah. And then what was the budget for Transformers 3?
Oh, let's...
I mean, Avatar's budget was like, what, $1 million or something like that?
I thought that... I had it wrong. They made $1 billion.
Yeah, they made like $2.1 billion or something like that.
Oh my God. Budget for Transformers 3 is $195 million.
Yeah. God. So he did Pain and Gain, which was a better movie. I haven't seen it, but I know it was because it's compared to Transformers.
Jared liked it.
Yeah, I heard it was actually quite good, quite hilarious. They did it for a tenth of the price.
Yeah.
Actually, less than that.
I wonder if he gave Michael Bay a budget of $1 million. Is it as his budgets get smaller, his movies get better? Let's find The Rock.
Yeah, that's true. The Rock, the Bad Boys movies. Took those off of streaming.
What?
Yeah, I tried to watch them the other day, and they're like, similar to this movie. Not on there, but...
That's really stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, The Rock... had a budget of, the equation doesn't work because The Rock's budget was $75 million.
But that's because they had to pay Sean Connery.
Oh yeah, well,
honestly, the guy's a money whore.
Yeah, he really likes the cash.
Yeah,
he does. I don't know, maybe.
But $75 million still isn't even coming close to Transformers money.
No. Yeah, but I don't know. I wish that though, as his budget went down, his movies got better.
Yeah.
Because he can't afford
The Rock, actually.
Yeah, me neither. Although I hear it's great.
I hear it is, too. I mean, it's one of the few good Nick Cage movies.
Yeah. Although, I'm looking at the poster again. Have you ever noticed this about movie posters where the names don't line up with the faces shown?
Yeah. Well, because it's done by billing order, not by the... arrangement on the trailer or on the poster.
Who cares? It's like, is somebody gonna get sued if you put it in the right order?
No, but the actors will get all butt hurt if, you know, oh, you didn't put me first. Oh, I'm not, you know, I'm the star of this movie.
Yeah, God forbid that our act actors are butthurt.
I know. They only made about 100.
I made $30 million and they didn't put my name at the beginning of the poster. Well.
Yeah.
Jerks.
I know.
Although I'm very thankful that most actors are not jerks in person.
Yeah.
I don't know if Nick Cage is or not. I've never heard any stories.
I haven't either.
Of him being a cool guy or not.
I've heard Bill Nye the Science Guy is a real dick, but.
What, really?
In real life, yeah, apparently he's just a total, you know, he's like Louis C.K. basically.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Man.
I know, childhood heroes just completely destroyed.
That's a bummer.
No, shoot. Okay, we're coming close to the holiday movie season.
Mm-hmm.
What movies do you want to see that are coming out this, basically, no, this December?
Oh, that are coming out?
That are coming out between now and the end of the year.
I'm going to go see The Hunger Games.
Yeah, that comes out a week from today, I think.
Yep, very soon. I've got...
That'll be good.
I've got tickets.
You going to the midnight one?
I don't think these passes can be used for that.
I was going to say, you're going to be surrounded by 15-year-old girls if you do.
Yeah.
I bet my sister will... be there.
They'll be in the front row. I'll sit in the back. Hey.
Yeah.
Looking through what else?
Wolf of Wall Street definitely is a must.
Yeah. Wait, that's December, isn't it?
That's Christmas. That's a Christmas Day movie.
Oh. Well, I'm not going Christmas Day.
Not going Christmas Day. I might go. I'll definitely go Christmas break, but not Christmas Day.
Gonna see Desolation of Smog.
Yeah.
Second Hollywood movie.
Yeah, that looks good.
I kind of want to see American Hustle.
See, I haven't decided about that one, quite honestly. It's like
Christian Bale being cool again.
And fat.
no problem with that.
No, I know. Yeah, it does have a great ensemble cast, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what was appealing to me.
And it's got a great plot, the synopsis. But I'm watching the trailers and I'm just not seeing it.
No?
It's like, it looks okay, but I don't know. Maybe it's just doing the, what we wish movies would do, where they don't reveal stuff in the trailers.
Yeah,
it basically shows you, okay,
the thing the that we want,
yeah,
and you're watching it and saying, I don't want to watch this.
That's the problem. That's why you watch trailers, is to see, okay, I want to see this movie because this part looks cool. I want to see this in the movie.
Yeah, that's a bummer. It's that basically, it works out that way.
The trailers are a couple people talking and somebody walking down a hall.
Yeah. I kind of want to see The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
That does look interesting. I'll be quite honest, that does look interesting. I saw the trailer for that recently.
And scrolling down. I think that's about it for me. For what I want to see.
This November/December isn't nearly as exciting of movies as last year's.
No.
I mean, last year we had Skyfall, we had Django, we had, what else came out in December? It seems like a lot of really good movies came out in December.
November, was December. Was Prometheus a Christmas movie?
No, that was June.
But that wasn't good, so
that
it doesn't
was June.
Count.
That was a summer movie.
Never mind. Anchorman 2 is also coming out.
Oh,
and,
God. It's going to flop, hopefully.
I didn't mention it. Oh, hopefully flop?
Yes.
It will flop. What are you talking about?
But
it has no ratings yet.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think a lot of people will flock to the movie theaters just because they liked the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the Will Ferrell nuts who think everything Will Ferrell does is, you know, pure gold.
Now, here's the thing. I don't like Will Ferrell as
Agreed.
A person.
I don't like most of his movies.
There are a couple things that I do like him in, though. I like the Ron Burgundy character.
Yes.
That's...
The original Anchorman was quite good, I'll be honest. It was entertaining.
But that's the only part of the movies that I like, is the character of Ron Burgundy. Everyone else is trash.
Yeah. It was a stupid movie overall, but it was entertaining.
I still laugh at Elf.
See, I never liked Elf.
It's so stupid.
That's my thoughts exactly.
But he's just I think the reason I laugh at it is because I picture Will Ferrell as a man child.
Yeah.
And when he acts like a man child and you add on top of that an elf costume and he's a full grown man,
yes.
It just completes the image even more for me and I lose it.
But his all time greatest movie in my mind is definitely Talladega Nights.
Thank you. My headphones are falling off. Ow. Now I'm pinching my fingers in them.
Yeah,
but.
No. Talladega Nights was brilliant, just because it does a beautiful job of ripping on NASCAR.
On the NASCAR culture.
Yeah, exactly. NASCAR culture and racing culture and that kind of stuff.
When he's making fun of himself or things that I don't normally like NASCAR, I think that's when he gets to me.
Yeah.
That and when he wears a suit straight out of 1973 and only drinks scotch and plays jazz flute.
Yeah.
Which, The jazz flute. Oh my god. That's favorite instrument, I think.
I think the reason I liked that one and I didn't like Elf was, yes, they both act like total... They both are very dumb movies.
Uh-huh.
But Anchorman had the same beauty as Army of Darkness, where everybody knew it wasn't serious. Everybody knew it was basically a big joke, and so they had fun with it, and you could tell, and it was entertaining.
And they filmed so much stuff for that,
too.
They had enough footage to make a second movie, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Wake Up, Ron Burgundy. Not nearly as funny as Anchorman, but it is pretty much all leftover footage that wasn't used. Apparently, the panda had a way bigger plot line.
Huh.
Then it ended up being not really sure how, but it is findable on the Inertrons.
Yes.
If you want to go looking for it, go ahead. I won't stop you, but you may end up being disappointed, like most things that Will Ferrell does.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's so weird that I can like things that people have done, even though I hate them.
Yeah. Interesting last thought, though. I mean, we're about to.
Yeah, we're running out, but go ahead.
So this is probably our last point. Can you really think of anything that Eddie Murphy's done in the past 10 years that's been remotely successful?
10 years?
I mean, not counting Shrek.
Why can't we count Shrek?
Because that doesn't count. The first one was good, and that's actually almost 10. That is over 10 years old.
Oh, yeah. It's 12 years old at this point.
Yeah.
Well, bummer. I didn't think it was that old.
Yeah, I know.
We are aging.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of sad.
We'll turn into dust.
It's like, you know, we'll talk about something from our childhood, and then people look at us like, what are you talking about? It's sad that we're getting to that point.
I don't know. Shrek doesn't have much of a rewatchability factor for me, though.
See, I think it does because you catch a lot more as an adult that you didn't as a child.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of actually very dark and very sexual humor, it seems like, that you don't even have a clue about.
I haven't seen it in about 4 years, so maybe I don't even remember
and
that.
And it seems like they throw a lot of that kind of stuff in, a lot of stuff for like the old adults in a lot of animated movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff that the kids will never catch, but then the parents think it's hilarious.
My favorite part of Shrek, though, was the gingerbread man.
Yeah.
Not the gumdrop buttons.
Yeah.
You're a monster. And how he eventually started growing legs back.
No, they just reattached his legs with some frosting.
Yeah, oh.
And, yeah.
They had to rebake him, though, for that. Like, if you take a gingerbread man and you put him in the oven again to rebake a leg on, will he experience pain or will he be like,
burned to a crisp.
I'm home again!
He'll just be like burned to a crisp. It's like baking a cookie a second time.
My gingerbread man devolved into Mickey the Mouse. Oh, seven with one blow!
Okay.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's from Fun Fancy Free.
Okay.
I don't know. I like that song.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. But I don't know. I don't think he would experience pain. He might get kind of dried out and you might have to re-moisten him with...
Soak him in a milk glass or something for a little while.
No, then he'll fall apart.
That's true. He gets soggy.
Gingerbread men are very delicate.
See, I've never liked gingerbread, so I've never really experienced much.
No, never had a taste for it. Just take the candy off of the house and leave the rest to rot. That's how I celebrate Christmas. Go ahead and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TGIF Radio. We're also TGIF Radio on Twitter. Email us things because you aren't, and we demand that you do, at TGIFRadioShow@gmail.com. Things you want to say before we peace off.
Here. I must say, I'm sorry we went on such a long tangent about movies, but it's getting to the holiday movie season.
So. We're back down to two people. That's what's going to happen.
I know. It's what happens.
We'll bring back the funny eventually.
Yeah.
We tried, but whatever. This is our show.
We do what we want.
Yeah. That's our life philosophy.
We
want to
be free.
Tune in.
We want to
do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
And we've come full circle.
See you next week, everyone.